want to turn to the book of Proverbs, begin in chapter 28. We'll begin with verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You ever seen somebody that was scared of everything? Running. Always afraid. Always thinking that somebody's after them. Well, the writer of Proverbs says that that's the wicked man that does that. He thinks that somebody is after him because he has a guilty conscience. Because he knows he's guilty. And he knows somebody ought to be after him, even if they're not. But if we're righteous, we shouldn't have those kinds of fears. That doesn't mean that nobody may be after us. At one time or another, we may actually have somebody after us. But we can be bold. We can be brave. We don't have to be afraid. Timothy was told that we are not given the spirit of fear. Not given that fear. Now, that means that we shouldn't have it. It doesn't mean that nobody does have it. We sometimes do get frightened. But we shouldn't. That doesn't come from God, that fear, that being afraid and frightened and scared of everything. That's not from God. God gives us sound mind. Then in verse 6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And this is a thought that has been echoed again and again throughout Proverbs. Righteousness is better than wealth. Wisdom is better than wealth. Integrity is better than wealth. A good name is better than wealth. All of these things are better than anything that money can buy. You can't buy back your reputation. Now, you may be able to get acquitted in court. We've seen that happen a few times, haven't we? But people still think you're guilty. And they still give you the reputation, even if you can buy your way out of the punishment. Better to be poor than be righteous. That's one of the reasons that I keep saying things over and over again, because the book of Proverbs says things over and over again. It's not just me. I'm not the only one that repeats myself. God had the habit of repeating himself at times to get through to people. Sometimes you have to. Verse 13. He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Why do we try so hard to cover up our sin? Even when other people know about it, we'll deny it. We'll lie about it. Pretend it's not true. Why do people do that? He says, if we'll confess and forsake, see, that's the idea of confession and repentance right there. You know, we can't confess our sin and then keep on living in that sin and expect everything to be alright. But if we'll confess it and forsake that sin, we can receive mercy. And most of the people that I've met think more highly of you if you will admit to your wrongdoing, confess up, as we say, than if you just try to pretend you don't have any fault. You see, that's what makes people hypocrites. When they try to cover up their sins as though, oh, I'm perfect, I don't do anything bad. People know better than that. People are not that foolish. We think we're pulling the wool over their eyes. We're not. And we will not be able to prosper. Certainly some people, it seems like they get away with their wickedness, and they never get caught, and they are prosperous and all this, but in the long run. And we have to think about things beyond wealth, beyond the physical, material wealth, that is. We have to think about, what about the next life? See, we can't prosper if we try to cover up our sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if we cover them up, He can see right through any covering we put on there. It doesn't matter what we do, He can see it. He knows it. Verse 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. That sounds a lot like the Pharisees of Jesus' time. You remember they would give their money that they should have used to take care of their elderly parents. They donated to the temple treasury. They called it Corban, the gift to God. And they would say, oh, well, see, I can't help you out. They robbed their parents of the honor that they should have been receiving in their old age. They wouldn't take care of their parents. Imagine how sad it'd be for you to be sitting at home taking care of yourself and your parents out begging. And then he said, well, you know, I had some money, but I gave it to God, so I can't take care of you. So they robbed their mother and their father. Now, you know, it's good to give to God. I don't want to belittle that. That's good. But he told them to honor the father and mother. Solomon said, boy, if you rob your father and mother and then say it's not a sin, it's not a transgression, you're just as bad as the person who destroys or kills and takes life. Verse 26 then, he says, he that trusteth in his own heart, oh, this one just applies to the religious world today, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I don't know how many times I've had discussions with religious people, and I know you have too, probably. And they see you show them something in the scriptures about how to worship, or how to be saved, or about the church, or about any number of things. And I mean, they can read it for themselves. And then they'll say, oh, but you know, I don't feel like God would judge me for that. Solomon hit the nail on the head. Whoever trusts in his own heart is a fool. The heart is deceitful above all things. We can't trust that heart. We can't trust our feelings. You know, some of these same folks marry somebody because they have these feelings, and then a few months later decide they couldn't get along with that fella or that girl anymore. They ought to know by now that their feelings aren't very good at directing them in the right path. These same folks, based on their feelings, they've done all sorts of things to mess up their lives. And then they want to keep following their feelings, following their thoughts. So we all the time hear these kind of things about, you know, let your heart guide you. The heart is not a good guide. He says, whoso walketh wisely, wisely. Wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from your feelings. It doesn't come from your heart. Wisdom comes from knowledge and the knowledge of how to apply that knowledge to life. That comes from God's Word. And then we move on to chapter 29. Chapter 29 and verse number 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not the knowing. It's been said before, and it'll be said again, I'm sure, that how we treat those who are in various misfortunes says a lot about the kind of person that we are. A person who would turn some somebody away, cold, hungry, without clothing, without shelter, thirsty, those kinds of things. That's what Jesus said. I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't visit me. Those are the kinds of things that he said were going to be a determining factor in whether we got to go to heaven or had to suffer an eternity in hell. If we're going to be righteous, then we have to consider the cause of the poor. This also may have to do with those who are in a position of judgment, like a judge would be if there was a case that came before him regarding someone who was poor and someone who was wealthy. The righteous is going to consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked judge isn't going to care because he can't get a bribe from that individual. He's just going to ignore it. We have to consider and be fair. To consider the cause of the poor. Be just. Be fair. In all of these ways. Now there may be situations that we can't do anything about. And often there are. Certainly no one of us could feed the world. Or take care of all the poor in the world. And you know, as wealthy as our country is, we've been fighting since the 40s. We've been fighting the war on poverty. You know, y'all thought we were in peacetime, but up until this last, we've been fighting the war on poverty ever since Franklin Roosevelt. And we're not winning it. They're still poor in this country. There's still children and families that go to bed without homes, without food every night, and they go to bed hungry. We can't always do something about everything. In fact, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. So we can't do anything about some of that, but we need to when we have the opportunity. In Galatians 6:10 it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good at all. We don't always have the opportunity. We can't always, and we can't, certainly, if we tried to help everybody, well, we'd be poorer than they are. But we can help some. And when we have the opportunity, we need to do so. And we can't just ignore it. We can't just ignore the problem and think it'll go away. It won't. Jesus said you'll have it with you always. It's not going to go away. The poor aren't going to just disappear. And it's wicked to just refuse to acknowledge the problem. That's wicked. We know there's injustice in the world. And we know that there are those who are rich that by wicked means, and then we know there are those who are poor as a result of misfortune or as a result of even being mistreated or cheated. We know that happens. We can't just turn a blind eye, so to speak, to that. Verse 11 then, he also says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until afterwards. That's why I haven't done every verse. I just get a few of them. I don't want to utter my whole mind. That's probably the only thing that gets me to finally be quiet and stop when I'm up here preaching. I don't want to utter my whole mind. You ever known somebody, they just said everything and they get themselves into trouble. And there I did it. I was only going to say that word once. And now I'm going to have to quit before I do that a third time. That'd be bad. But a fool uttereth all his mind. It's wise sometimes to keep your thoughts to yourself. We talked about that this morning in class with the matter of forgiveness. Those things are still in our mind sometimes. We still, you know, those thoughts of wrongdoing, it comes to mind. Keep it to yourself. Don't bring it up. Don't say it. We often hurt the people that we love and care about by saying things before we think, saying just the first thing that pops into our head. We need to taste those words before we speak them. Marshall Keeble used to say, you always taste your words before you speak them because you don't know which ones of them you might have to eat again. And you don't want to eat the bitter ones. Those would not be good. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, But a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. You ever seen those parents that say, I just love this little child too much to tell them no. I just love them too much to discipline them or to spank them or to do any. Oh, I just love them too much. You leave that child to himself. You let that child grow up the way he wants to grow up. That child will bring shame on you. Children don't know how to grow up. That's why God gave Aaron to raise children, to teach the children how to grow up. Now granted, sometimes our parents haven't always done the best of jobs with us. They did the best they knew how. We do the best we know how. We're not perfect parents, but we do the best we know how. And we try to continue to learn how to do better. We try to not make the same mistakes that our parents made. We try to learn the good things that they did and copy that, but not the bad things. But the rod and reproof give wisdom. A child can't raise itself. No child could. Verse 18. We'll be looking at this particular topic a little bit next Sunday morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, what is vision? Vision is the ability to see into the future. Now, we know we can't see into the future with accuracy like they could when they were prophesying. You know, they had visions and revelations from God that helped them to be able to see the future and to know what was going to happen. And of course that was 100% accurate. We can't have that. But we've got to have an idea of where we're headed. We've got to have a vision of sorts of where we want to be. Or we'll never get there. If you aim for nothing, you're sure to hit it. We've got to have a goal. And we've got to have vision. We've got to have a plan for the future. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday. We're going to look at what your vision is for the church here. What's your plan, your goals, your dreams, your hopes? Where would you like this congregation to be in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years? What can we work for? You see, the problem we have sometimes is we just kind of live the day out, and then we get up the next day and just live that day out. And we don't have any direction to our life. We're not going anywhere specific. We're just kind of meandering about through life, wherever the currents take us. We need to have something to shoot for. How do you know if you're a good shooter if you don't have a target? There was a story told about a man who was going through the woods, and as he was going along, he saw, here's a tree with an arrow in it, and there's a bullseye, and the arrow's right in the middle of the bullseye. And he thought, wow. And he walked a little further, and there's another tree and an arrow right in the middle of the bullseye. And he kept walking, and he kept seeing tree after tree with an arrow stuck in the tree with right in the middle of the bullseye. And he was just amazed. And he finally came upon a man with a bow and arrow, and he said, did you shoot all of those arrows that I passed them? Well, yeah, I did that. Well, how did you, every one of those is right in the center of the bullseye. How did you do, how are you so good at that? He said, oh, it's easy. I've tried you. If you've ever tried shooting a bow and arrow, that's tough, too. So he said, oh, it's easy. What did you do? How did you learn to do it? Oh, no. I said, all I do is I shoot the arrow, and then once it sticks in the tree, I go and take the bullseye around it. Well, see, some of us think we can live our lives that way. We can just kind of go and wander and make it through day after day. And then at the end, we're with this paint the bullseye that us hit the target. It doesn't work that way. We'll wind up with a wasted life. We'll wind up, the church can wind up with just wasting away. We've got to have a plan. We've got to have a goal. We've got to have something to shoot for, or else we'll never know if we hit it. That's why we have our goals on attendance and contribution, goals for baptism through the year, goals for everyone to have a Bible study. That's part of the vision that the leadership of the church has to keep us moving in the right direction, to make sure that we can measure to some degree how we're doing, how we're going along. Are we going the right way? There are road signs along the way. There's nothing more worrisome when you're traveling than getting on a road where you can't find a road sign. And you don't know where you're going, you don't know how far you are, you don't even know sometimes if you're on the right road. You see, these goals and this vision is a set of road signs for us to see that we're going the right way. Maybe you haven't had any vision in your life. Maybe you've just been wandering along, letting life take you wherever it wanted you to go. Well, the time comes for us to seek God's will, to obey His law, and to follow after the goals that He's set for us. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, I ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.